Good morning, Rock of Ages. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is absolutely our pleasure to be able to bring the Word of God to you. And so I am blessed, as always, to be able to minister on the behalf of Pastor Soto today. So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. As we always do, I want us to take this time to pray for our offering. And so if you would, just bow your heads with me as we just bless the offering today. Lord, we thank you, God, for all of your goodness. Father, we just thank you for this time of worship that we had, Lord, and we thank you for your presence in this room, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in our lives. And God, today we just ask, Lord, that as we still are worshiping you, Father, as we're still thanking you, God, that you would just bless these tithes and offerings, Father. And so, Lord, we pray, Father God, that, Lord, we would not give them, Lord, into the hands of a church, God, or a man, Father, but, Lord, we give them into your hands, Father, as an act of love and obedience to your word. And so today, Father, we ask, Lord, that as we give unto you, Lord, would you bless, Father, your children. Bless them, God, 10, 30, 100-fold, Lord Jesus, according to the power of your word. And Father, we also pray, Lord, for someone, Lord, that may be in a season of lack, God. Maybe they are hurting, God, and they're just in need of more today, Father. So we pray for them as well, God, that, Lord, you would open up the floodgates of heaven for their life and over their life today, Jesus, that they would have all they need, God, and they would have even more than enough, Jesus, because, Lord, you are our perfect provider, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. Bless these offerings in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for joining us today. As we get into the Word this morning, I want to just kind of recap a little bit. We're going to be covering the second part of this message that we started 2 weeks ago entitled Fear, Unmasking the Devil. And so we've been looking at the life of David, and you understand this story. Many of you have read it in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And looking at the life of David, we understand that there were so many things that happened in those moments into him leading up to that battle line to face Goliath. And one of the first things, you know, that we saw in this story, I believe the enemy's plan is kind of brought to the forefront. It's exposed, if you will, and that is fear. The enemy is always going to try to bring fear into the lives of God's children, into the lives of God's people and nation. And so we see here at this story, they're in the Valley of Elah, and there's the Philistine soldiers on one side, and then there's the Israelites on the other side, and we see that they're lined up for battle. And the Bible tells us that there was 100,000 Israelite soldiers, and there was this one champion. His name was Goliath. And he was this Philistine warrior. The Bible says that he stood head and shoulders above every single one of the other men. And he was their most prized fighter. He was their greatest, you know, warrior, if you will. And so the Bible says for a period of 40 days, Goliath would go out every single day. And he would shout at the ranks of Israel. And he would defy their God. It feels much like the season that we're living in today. I know that many of you are praying, and you're praying, and you're praying. And listen, church, I want to encourage you today, keep praying, amen? Keep fasting. Listen, let's take it up a notch. Let's go from seeking to knocking to just, you know, believing that God is going to give us the victory in this season. But these guys were there on this battle line for a period of 40 days, and the Bible says that they did absolutely nothing every single time this enemy came and shouted against their God. They stood in fear, paralyzed, because of the words that he would speak against them. Fear has everything to do with taking your attention off God and placing it on the very thing that the enemy is trying to get you to latch on to. And so in this moment, it was to be impressed with the size of Goliath. It was to be impressed with his reputation. It was to be impressed with everything that he was bringing against them. And I want to remind you again this morning, church, that listen, we are to never be impressed by the size of the enemy, because the devil is nothing. I said the devil is defeated, and he is nothing in comparison to our God. Amen? I said he is nothing in comparison to our God. The Bible says that the heavens and the earth are God's. The Bible says that the earth is like his footstool. Everything in all creation belongs to God, amen? And so as believers, we have to understand that we've got this thing called faith. that is our weapon. It's faith and trust and belief in who God says we are and who God says we are to become and who God says where we're going and all of the things, the purpose and the plan that he has for your life. We've got to believe that, church. We've got to stand for it in faith in these times that we're living in. And so as we see David and we see all the stuff that David was going through, the Bible says one of the first things that got David to that battle line was his obedience to his father. How many of you know that spiritual or rather physical obedience brings a spiritual release? Physical obedience brings spiritual release. In the life of David, it was being obedient to his father's command to go check on his brothers who were at war. The Bible says he was responsible. He left the sheep with another shepherd, and he did as his father had ordered him. And I'm here to tell you, church, listen, the first thing that we've got to be doing in these days that we're living in is please our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's not about pleasing ourselves. It's not about, you know, treating this whole thing, pandemic that we're experiencing, like a vacation or something. Listen, church, we've got to be back on our knees. We've got to be crying out to God. We've got to be fervent in our prayer in these times that we are living. Amen. I believe that God will deliver us. But listen, there is work for us to do. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. The Father in heaven is speaking to you. He's given you a word. He's given you a command. He's given you something to accomplish in this season. And listen, that's got to be our focus. What's going to give us the victory, church, is not, you know, who you vote for. It's not, you know, the things that you want to do in this season. It's not the stock market going up or down. It's not any of those things. Your victory does not lie in those things. Your victory is in God and in God alone. Amen? It is in God alone. And so we see that David is first obedient to his father, and he gets to this battleground, and David overhears this champion Goliath shouting at the ranks of Israel, shouting at his God, defying his God, church. Now listen, I think it's okay to get upset, you know, at certain things, because listen, the enemy is very forward in the times that we're living in. He's been very forward, and he has completely exposed himself so that you and I can see exactly what it is that he is doing. He has shown us his hand. And he is being very bold in showing us his hand. And what are we going to do about it, church? Are we going to shrink back, or are we going to march forward in faith and say, not today, devil. You will not have the victory over this nation. You will not have the victory over our cities. You will not have the victory over our health in our bodies. We belong to Jesus, amen? We are the remnant of God's people. And so listen, David gets to this battle line, and David is facing, and he overhears this giant. He overhears the words that he's shouting at God's people. He overhears everything, and he sees a paralyzed people. I'm praying in the days that we're living in, church, that God's going to raise up some Davids, that God's going to raise up some young men and women who are actually seeing with spiritual eyes and realizing that, hold on a second, this is not okay. This is not okay that the enemy has come into God's house, that the enemy is trying to come into God's nation and push back the people of God. It is not okay. David looks at both sides of the battle line, and he realizes all of a sudden, he says, hold on a second. Who's this guy? He's been doing what? He's been defying our God? And I can imagine in this moment, David is rallying up with courage, and he's seeing all of a sudden this opportunity that's before him. I believe he's seeing God's purpose and God's plan being unveiled before his eyes. The Bible says that as David's about to approach, you know, this battle line, he checks on his brothers, and his brothers give him a word. His oldest brother, in fact, accused him in that moment of being haughty, of being prideful, of simply just wanting to come and observe the you know, war that was going on, or observe the bloodshed. And the Bible says that David did something that was incredibly key, church. And that is this: as the Bible says that David overheard what they were talking about. He overheard what they were saying, but the Bible says that he did not give attention to that matter. He gave attention and he stayed focused on getting to that battle line. And church, the time that we are living in, the enemy is so rampantly trying to distract you from following God's word, following God's command. He's throwing distractions at you left and right. He's saying, hey, listen, you know, because you watch this news station, that's going to be your salvation. Because you are on this side of a particular line, that's going to be the thing that's going to save you. Because you're doing this and you're doing that, because you're all these things. And listen, all the enemy is doing is he's creating confusion. In fact, he's even turning God's people against themselves. And the Bible says, and is clear to say, that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, church. But I'm reminded of the word of God where it says, where two or three will gather together in my name, there I will be with them. And that whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever they loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, this is the promise of God. And now is not the time, church, to pay attention to things that are inferior to the real purpose and the real thing that's happening. Listen, God is wanting his people in these days that we are living in to take up their rightful place once again. He is wanting you and I, church, to take up our rightful place, to put on the mantle of heaven and say, hey, hold on a second, devil. You're not going to push us back. In fact, we are going to push out you. We are going to push back against the darkness, and we are going to see light give us the victory in Jesus' name. This is what God is calling us to. This is the hour in which we stand today, church. And so David is going through all of these things, church. He's experiencing all these things. And the word of God says this. It says that my righteous one will live by faith. The Lord says that I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. You see, now is not the time to shrink back, church. It says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Amen. And so as we get into the second part of this message today, I want to read to you from Psalms chapter 62. In verse 6, I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. It's such a powerful translation. It says this. It says, for he alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me as my champion defender. It says there's no risk of failure with God. So why would I let worry paralyze me? It says even when troubles multiply around me, he says, God's glory is all around me. His wraparound presence is all I need. For the Lord is my Savior, my hero, and my life-giving strength. He says, join me, everyone, and trust only in God every single moment. Tell him all of your troubles and pour out your heart longings to him. He says, believe me when I tell you that he will help you. Amen. He will help you. You can hear the heart of David and his confidence in God through these passages. And notice what David makes reference to. He says, God is the safe place. It's his wraparound presence that protects as a champion defender. How many of you need a champion defender, church? And he goes on to say, he says, why would I let worry paralyze me even when troubles are multiplying around me? Listen, I think this season that we've been living in since about March or so has gone from worse to worse to worse. We've seen trouble after trouble after trouble, and it seems as though trouble is multiplying around us. But he says it's in the presence of God. It's in the presence of God, and it's trusting in him that we find life-giving strength, church. That we find a life-giving strength outside of the presence of God. Listen to me, believer. Outside of the presence of God, you become vulnerable and weak. I said you become vulnerable and weak. But inside of a relationship with God, you have a greater awareness of God. And that is, you have a greater awareness of his power than you do of what the enemy tries to scare you with. You see, when you are connected to him, the Bible says in the book of John, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. This is speaking of a connection that we must have with the Lord as a personal relationship with him as our Savior. inside of a relationship with God, you have a greater awareness of God and his power that you do of what the enemy tries to scare you with. And so by this point in David's journey to the battle line, he's well aware that God is with him, church. And I have to ask you this question this morning. Do you know that God is with you? Do you feel God with you? See, God just doesn't come to us. God comes to us where we're supposed to be. The Bible says that if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart. You see, we can't just be flippant in our relationship with God and say, oh, save me, God. We can't just not care about the things that we say or the things that we do and just expect God to rescue us and help us. And so by this point for David, he was well aware that God is with him. And he was summoned by the king and captain of that army, Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, David is quoted saying this. He says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. He says, your servant will go and fight him. Church, giving into fear will make you the victim when facing trials in life. But it's trusting in God that will give you the victory. Amen? And so Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1 says, so when you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots, and you see people more numerous than you, he goes, do not be afraid of them. He goes, for the Lord your God is with you. Say, God is with me. And it goes on to say, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Verse 2 says, so it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies, but do not let your heart be faint, and do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is with you, and he goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen? He is there to save you, church. He is there to save you. You see, our greatest victories are won in the heart and the spirit before they're ever won in the natural. That is, you have faith, church, and it becomes so. But if you do not have faith, it will never become so. You see, it's only through a relationship with Jesus. It's only through being strengthened in our inner man by praying and by spending time in his word that we begin to believe that he is with us. You begin to trust and know that he is with you because you spoke to him this morning. You begin to trust and know that he is with you because you talked to him last night. You know that his presence is with you because you felt him when you needed him most. You know that the presence of God is with you because he has gone before you, and surely he is going to go to those places that we're headed to as well. And so listen, church, we find out and we understand when we begin to believe that the Lord is with us. It's that place, church, that we know that I believe God is deployed to go forth and fight our enemy. Church, it's not being impressed with the size of the enemy, the amount of soldiers that they appear to have, or the amount of attacks against you, but it's recalling from where the Lord has brought you that gives you faith to believe that what's before you, he too sure can give you the victory over. Think about this, church. That verse that we read right now, it says, he said, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you out up from the land of Egypt. Now I have to stop just for a moment and say this. Listen, we have all had our Egypt. We all had our place of bondage. We all had our place of slavery where we were stuck to sin and we were bound by what the enemy wanted to do in our life. But the moment that you said yes to Jesus, the moment that you were crucified with Christ, the moment that you gave your heart to him, that you surrendered to him, you're no longer living in Egypt, church. You are living in the promised land. And even though you're in the promised land, there will be an enemy that stands before you. But your God will give you the victory in Jesus' name. See, the greatest miracle that you have received wasn't a healing of sickness. It wasn't when God freed you from torment. It wasn't when God even saved your children. The greatest miracle was God delivering you from sin. Amen? It was God freeing you from all those things that had you dead to Christ, The Bible says that we were dead in our transgressions. But now that we've said yes to Jesus, we are made alive in Christ. Amen? And so the Bible says you were dead in sin, but you made alive in Jesus. It was Jesus paying the ultimate price for your freedom. It was Jesus that brought you out of Egypt. It was the unthinkable grace that we received in that moment that should not only cause us to be thankful and worship Him, but remind us that if He could save our souls from sin, the filth that we were entangled with, the very things that broke the heart of God, that He could break off the grip of hell and the grave of wickedness, surely all other things will be nothing for God. I said, surely all other things will be nothing for God. David was certain of this. But how many of you know that the enemy will always challenge the faith that you have through the doubt of others? You see, right now you could be hearing this message and you could be getting fired up and you're just believing for God. You're saying, you know what, that's right. I'm taking back what the enemy's tried to steal from me. I'm taking back what the enemy's tried to do in our nation. I'm about to just get on my knees before God and I'm going to proclaim the promises and declare the truth of God over this nation. But then all of a sudden, a voice speaks out to you. 1 Samuel 17 and 33, the Bible says, Saul replied, he says, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man and he has been a warrior from his youth. Isn't it like the enemy to try to point out our weakness in a moment when we need faith? Isn't it like the enemy to whisper into your ear that you're incapable, that you're a sinner, that you're too young or you're too old, that you're not smart enough or you're not this or you're not that? Listen, the next time that the enemy says you are not able, you can say, but he is. Listen, you can say, hey, you know what? I may not be able, but my God is. I may not be worthy. I may not be capable, but my God surely is, because the Bible says, greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. David goes on to say in 1 Samuel 17 and 36, he says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. It says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, he says, go and the Lord be with you. Now, I don't know about you. When I read this, you know, I imagine everything in my mind, in my head. And I don't know about you, but when I read Saul's response to David, I kind of felt as though he was being a little sarcastic. Because it was like, you know, two verses earlier that you know, he's there saying, hey, listen, you're not able. You're not capable. He's a champion fighter. He's much more skilled than you. You're just a boy. The Bible teaches us that David was under the age of 18 years old, and we know this because he had not yet been enlisted in the army. And so David is probably 16 or 17 years old. And so, you know, I believe that Saul, you know, after he hears David, you know, share his resume of what he has done and how the Lord has rescued him from the lion and from the bear, Saul says, go and the Lord be with you, man. Good luck. Good luck. And so instead of, you know, Saul believing, he tries to cover up his reputation by giving David all of his armor. Now, I mentioned just a second ago that David was underage. That is, he was not qualified yet to be in the army. And so Saul is thinking, you know, about this whole thing, and he's trying to cover up his reputation because, after all, he's not enlisted, and surely this is not going to be on the head of Saul if he just sent a boy to be killed by a giant. It's probably not going to look too good for his political resume. And so Saul does what he thinks is a good move. In the next verse in 1 Samuel 17 and 38, it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around because he was not used to it. And he says, I cannot go in these. He goes, I'm not used to them. And so he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. And he put them in the pouch on his shepherd's bag. With his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. You see, sometimes we think we can defeat enemies using another man's armor. Sometimes you think that you can defeat an enemy using somebody else's relationship with God. Well, it's because I heard, you know, Pastor Soto pray like this, and maybe that's the prayer that I'm supposed to use. Or maybe I heard Pastor Duke, you know, he prayed for this, or he said these words, and maybe that's how I'm supposed to do it. We suppose that we can just say the same things that others are yelling in church, and somehow God is going to use that to deliver us. But how many of you know that you will never be better equipped than to be clothed by the Spirit of God living in your life? You will never be better equipped outside of that church. You must be clothed with power from on high. You must be clothed with a relationship with God. You must have this daily relationship with Him for yourself. You see, sometimes the enemy tricks us into thinking that only pastor could defeat a giant, or only that brother and sister in church that prays real good, you know, and has a relationship with God forever, they're only the ones that can defeat the giant. But I'd like to suggest to you this morning that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is when the name of Jesus is written on the hearts of man, they become endowed with the same power that raised Christ from the dead, and they are now become qualified giant killers. They are now qualified to slay any single giant that stands before them. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20 is an awesome verse. It says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." It says He will soon crush Satan under your feet. You see, those who have received the once broken body of Jesus, the one who was crucified for their sins, became born again giant killers. And don't let the enemy try to persuade you or make you think otherwise. You have now been given this same authority, church, that Jesus used. You have now been given the same authority, the same power, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of your life. So surely any giant that stands before you can be defeated, because Jesus defeated them all. Amen. And so Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body," he says, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, David was empowered by the God that he encountered, church. He was empowered by this God that he had encountered. And at this point, David is now face to face with this enemy. He is now standing face to face with Goliath. And Goliath is closing in on him. And the Bible says that when Goliath looked him over, he says, "Am I a dog that you would come at me with sticks?" He saw the appearance of this young boy. He goes, "Who are you?" He then went on to curse David and his God, and he made one last threat by saying, he says, "Come here," he says, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now the most beautiful part is what happens next. It's the response of David in the face of the enemy. I believe, church, that this should be the response of the children of God anytime the enemy is outlandishly defying your God. 1 Samuel 17 and 45 says, David said to the Philistine, he says, "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He goes, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." He says, "Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." You see, church, there is strength in the name above all names. There is strength in the name of Jesus. There is strength in the Lord. Amen. And prophetic decrees flow from the lips of those who know who holds their future. You see, listen, if you're afraid and you have succumbed to fear and you are just worried and you're just, you know, tucked away in your home saying, you know, how are we ever going to get through this? You know, how are the bills going to get paid? How's this virus going to go away? Listen, you know, if you're on the defensive, you're not using the authority that God gave you. The Bible says that we can be on the offensive. And right here, David shows that clearly and truly. And he utters out of his mouth a prophetic decree because he knew who held his future, church. He knew in whose hands he had belonged. And so David spoke what God showed to him would happen. And guess what? It did. And I'm here to remind somebody today that you could be living in the world that you've spoken into existence. I said, right now, if you are being tormented by the enemy, it could be from the very mouths of complaint. It could be from that very bitter well that causes you to murmur and grumble against God. And you might be wondering, why am I going through this? You see, it's what we declare. It's what we speak. It's what we decree, church, that releases the atmosphere in which we live in. David looked at the giant and said, I don't receive your decree over my life. I'm going to decree against you. I'm going to declare against you that you will be pushed back by my God today. I've heard people say, well, listen, it's never going to get better, Pastor Duke. It's always going to be this way. You know, there's no hope for me or there's no hope for us. You know, it makes about as much sense to speak that way and call yourself a Christian as it does standing in a garage and calling yourself a car. It's pretty foolish. It's pretty foolish, and it doesn't reveal any kind of faith. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? He goes, as it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. He goes, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. You see, that's how the world looks at us. It's just a sheep that they could slaughter. But verse 37 says, but no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen? You see, church, the flesh can be killed and wars can be lost, but death has never been able to kill God's perfect love for you. Think about that. Death has never been able to kill the perfect love of God for our life. David would stand victorious, not because of his skill, his reputation, or his stature, but because of the unending love his God has for him. Do you know today that Jesus loves you? Do you know today that you have one who wants to be with you at every moment of the day? Is your heart not moved when you worship God? Is your heart not moved when you hear the Holy Spirit just whispering to you to say, hey, listen, just spend a little time with me. Just take another moment with me. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, church, is that he's always available. The enemy wants us to think that somehow the sin that you committed yesterday, the thing that you thought, the thing, you know, that you did, you know, maybe by accident or even knowingly, is somehow able to keep you from the presence of God. Well, listen, I am here to call the devil a liar, because nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God. And listen, right now, maybe somebody's been hearing this message and you say, you know what, Pastor Duke, I've just felt like I can't come into his presence because of whatever reason. You know, I failed God, I've messed up, I've done this or I've done that. Listen, understand today, friend, that if you repent of your sins, if you ask Jesus to cleanse your life, if you ask him to change your heart, you can be received back into the love of God. Your God loves you endlessly. I said, your God loves you endlessly. That is, he is a mighty defender of his children. Isaiah 19 and 20 says, it will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a savior and a defender, and he will rescue them. But I love this because it says it's a witness to the Lord Almighty in Egypt. It's a witness in that place from which you came from. And I'm here to remind somebody today that, listen, every single time you cry out to God as your deliverer, as your savior, as your hope, as the one that is going to give you freedom, listen, it reminds the devil that he never had ownership over you, that he never had any kind of hold over your life. And the moment that you declare Jesus, the moment that you cry out to the Lord for help, the moment that you call upon your Savior, it reminds the devil back in Egypt. It reminds him who is bound and who is destined to be lost forever. It reminds him that he is destroyed. Philippians 1 and 28 says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, that is your enemy. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. You see, David didn't flinch, church. He didn't flinch when the devil was standing before him. He didn't flinch when the enemy Goliath was challenging him. And because he did not display fear, the Bible says that it was a sign to them that they were going to be destroyed, but that they would be saved, and that by God. You see, David's focus wasn't on the opposing giant, but rather on the faith of believing in his God would come to the rescue. How many of you believe today that God is going to come to the rescue for your life? 1 Samuel 17 and 48 says this, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. You see, church, the Bible says that we are not those who are shrink back or who will shrink back and be destroyed. Retreat is never an option for those who are victorious and for those who are called to be victorious. But instead, because of faith in Jesus, we're able to run towards any giant that comes against us, church. The Bible says he reached into his bag and he took out a stone. And in verse 49, he slung it and he struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. And the Bible says, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. And David ran and stood over him and he took hold of the Philistine's sword and he drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. You see, church, not only did David kill Goliath with a stone, but God positioned the enemy so his child could stand over him in victory. God positioned the enemy so that the children of God could stand over him once and for all and say, Satan, you are crushed underneath my feet. And so I believe, church, that this was a New Testament picture of the victory that Jesus Christ has gained for us by slaying the devil through the surrender of his life to a painful death on the cross. But for all those who have chosen to die to themselves and to live for him, we too, church, get to stand in the winner's circle. You were born for victory, church. I said you were born for victory, but you can never conquer what you do not confront. And so today, maybe it's something else. It's not even, you know, COVID, or it's not even, you know, the things that are happening in the political realm. It's not even, you know, racial issues that you're dealing with. It could be something completely different. Listen to me, church. Listen to me today. We have to understand that Jesus Christ has bought us the victory over hell, sin, death, the grave, and every single thing that you could ever face in this world. But you need to believe it today. See, the only way you can truly live is if you're dead. Maybe you're listening to me this morning, you say, Pastor Duke, you know, I've been struggling with the same thing over and over. Or Pastor Duke, this season doesn't seem like it's shifting for us, or it doesn't seem like we're finding that breakthrough that we need. It doesn't seem like we're progressing or we're moving forward. Listen, I want to remind you today that you are a child of God. But if you have never fully surrendered your life to Jesus, then you can never fully live. So today is that day for you, my friend. Today is that day that you would surrender to him. I want us to understand, church, again I say, now is not the season to shrink back in fear. Now is not the time to just, you know, tuck our tails and run and just just stay, you know, bound up in our rooms. But now is the time, listen. Now is the time to prepare ourselves in the Spirit. You see, fasting and prayer, church, is a must in this season that we're living in. And I also need to say this because I believe it's incredibly important. Some of you are refusing to let go of the things that are actually keeping you entangled. The chain's already been broken, but you're still holding on to the end of it. And you won't let go. It could be for the fear of what's to come. It could be the fear of not knowing that what happens, that if you fully let go and you surrender Jesus, that if he's really going to catch you. Listen, friend, he is sure to his word. He will catch you. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. And maybe there's this pipeline of fear. Maybe it's the news. Maybe it's the media. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's something that has been a pipeline of fear in your life. Listen, cut it off. It's so simple, church. Cut it off. And you'll find the freedom that you need. Say, I don't know why I've been bogged down. I don't know why I'm so anxious. I don't know why I'm so fearful. I don't know why all these news reports are getting to me. Listen, church. If you're holding on to something that God's telling you to let go of, just let it go. The Bible says, surely his arm is not too short that he cannot save us. The Lord will rescue you. The Lord will deliver you. But for someone listening to my voice today, the greatest giant that was defeated through Christ's death on the cross was that giant that kept us separate, that kept us from being sons and daughters because of our sin. And the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And this is why we need a Savior. You see, listen, good people aren't going to get into heaven. I said, good people aren't going to get into heaven. In our goodness, in and of ourselves, we don't have what it takes to get into heaven. It's only those who have surrendered their life to Jesus, who've asked him to be Lord. You know, there's that saying that says this. The Bible says that he's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He's either Lord of all of your life, every part, the part on social media, the part that you think is right, the part that you justify. You see, he has to be Lord of all. And maybe there's something in your life today that you are needing to surrender to him. It could be anger against somebody. It could be unforgiveness against someone. It could be, you know, just holding sin in your life. It could be hanging on to something that no one else knows about. Listen, the Bible says he who conceals sin does not prosper, church. In order for us to be fully received by God, we have to be fully surrendered to God. The Bible declares one thing, and that is this, that today is the day of salvation. You see, Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve. How many of you know that we deserve punishment? Our sins merit that. But we can thank God for his grace and his mercy today, that you still have breath in your lungs, that right now you can make that decision right here, right now, to say, you know what? I need to give it all to you, Jesus. Tomorrow is guaranteed to no one, and the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. I would appeal to you today, my friend, that choosing Christ will be the best decision that you could ever make. It's greater than choosing where to live. It's greater than choosing, you know, the career that you want, even the spouse that you choose or have chosen, or choosing a life of surrender. To follow Jesus is the only way to an eternal life in heaven. And with as much uncertainty as we are living in today, as we are living amongst, one would think that millions would come to Christ, that millions would just be surrendering their life to Jesus. But listen, right now, God is not waiting for the millions. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you, my friend. Heaven is waiting for you to decide. Heaven is waiting for you to surrender. So I want to pray for you today. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, I want to just lead you in a simple prayer. Listen, I don't have to be there with you, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is with you. He's been that voice that's been tugging on your heart this morning. Maybe you're weeping and maybe your heart is just, you know, bubbling up with joy and you just don't know what's happening in your life. It's because the Holy Spirit is with you right now. And so I want you to surrender to Jesus today. All you have to do is pray and say, God, today I come to you. And I recognize there's no way I can get to heaven. There's no way I can defeat any giant. There's no way I can defeat fear unless I have the one who has defeated all in my heart. So all you have to do, friend, is just pray this and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord. I confess you as my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. From this day forward, I will live for you, Lord. You will be Lord of all in my life. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, show me your ways. Holy Spirit, fill me with the love and the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for praying that prayer. Listen, I want to encourage the church this morning. You're listening to me and you're saying, you know what? You know, Pastor Duke, there's been just this thing that has come against me, and I've just been worried and I've been shrunk back and I just don't know how to do it. Listen, today, church, I said, today, church, we march forward. Today, we march forward. We will not shrink back. We will not sit back and watch the enemy try to take our cities, try to take our families, and try to take our nation any longer. And the way that we're going to fight, church, the way that we're going to fight against the enemy is we're going to lift up a shout of praise. We're going to begin to worship him. And the Bible says that God will give us songs of deliverance. We're going to begin to pray like we've never prayed before, church. And the Bible says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much power. We're going to agree together. We're going to come together to bind whatever we need to bind on this earth, church, and loose whatever we need to loose on this earth. And listen, today we come together in agreement that the enemy is defeated. How many of you believe that today? How many of you will agree with me today that the devil is defeated and that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is Lord of all? And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your saints today, God. I pray, Father, that they wouldn't be, Lord, just stuck, God, in sin or even, Lord, stuck in fear. But deliver us, oh God. Deliver us from these things that the enemy has tried to destroy us with, Father. Deliver us, Lord, Father, and help us, God, through this season. Lord, you are our anchor. You are our trust. You are our hope, our deliverer, our protector, God, our shield, Lord, today. And so, Father, Lord, anywhere we go, Father, as children of God, the Holy Spirit is with us. Your wraparound presence goes with us, God. You go before us, Lord, to fight our enemies, Father. And you said, Father God, that it would be through us, God, that we would stand, Father God, upon the neck of the enemy, God, and Satan would be crushed under our feet, God. And so stand up, child of God. Stand up and take your rightful place. Once again, Father God, as a child of God and as a believer in faith, God, that we will be victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, God. We declare today, God, that, Father, this nation will be free, God, from the hands of oppression, God. We declare today, God, that Satan has no more control any longer, God. Father, we break the neck of the enemy, Father God, and everything that he's trying to do in our political system, everything he's trying to do in our communities, everything he's trying to do against our bodies, Father, we declare in the name of Jesus today, God, that, Father, all will be well with the righteous, that all will be well with the righteous, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you today. We honor you today, Lord Jesus. We just thank you right now, Holy Spirit. I just thank you right now, Holy Spirit, because I know, God, that you're moving, God, and that you're fighting for us, Lord Jesus. And so remind every single child of God, Lord, that you are with them today, God, that you have not left them, Lord. But I implore them today, God, to press into the presence of God, to pray like they've never prayed before, to fast from the things, God, that they need to fast from, Lord Jesus. We declare it in the name of Jesus today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I pray that the Word of God has just been a blessing to your life today. Listen, we love you. We just thank you so much that if you were watching for the first time, God bless you, my friend. Listen, we pray that Rock of Ages will be our home church. We pray that Rock of Ages will be here to serve you. Listen, we have, you know, other awesome, you know, pastors and ministers and ministries that are here to serve you. And so we encourage you, church, listen, keep trusting in God. You know, someone told me, you know, that we might be coming back to church pretty soon. And you know what? I'm excited about that. And I want you to be excited about that as well. Amen. The enemy is defeated and Jesus will be exalted in all things. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for joining us today.